Okay, the title of this message is Forgive or Be Forgotten. Okay? Everybody say
forgive
or be forgotten. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we are excited about what you're going to show us this evening. Because our desire, Lord, is to just walk totally in truth. Totally in your truth, which is really the only truth there is. So, Father, we just repent right now for anything that we may have done contrary to your perfect plan for us. And we commit to have ears to hear and hearts to obey all that you share with us this evening. Because we want everything that you want. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and showing us very simple principles that cause a lot of trouble. We thank you, Father, for the revelation we are going to receive this evening in Jesus' name. And in Father, as Father, as always, I covenant that I'm only going to say what you tell me to say or do what you tell me to do, and I will not pull any punches so you won't have to pull me from your lineup. But I expect that regardless of the words that I speak, every single individual will hear exactly, Lord, what you need them to hear so we can all individually and collectively go on about doing your work. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go to John 3. And let's read verses 16 and 17. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you haven't been here, you know, the last previous two Wednesdays that I was here, we're going back to basics. And we're going to talk about some basic principles, some fundamental principles that every single believer should be walking in. I'm a sports guy. I played basketball, you know, at a higher level than most. That's not braggadocious. I'm just telling you, you know, the truth. And I found out that I could hang with the big boys because I was fundamentally sound. There were some that were much more talented than I was. They could jump much higher than I could. Some of them definitely had a better jump shot than I did, but they weren't fundamentally sound. And I was. And fundamentals will overcome talent any day of the week. So I was successful because I had mastered some basic fundamentals of basketball. It's just that simple. And it's that way in everything we do. There are basic fundamentals that everything else is built upon. So if we don't get the fundamentals in place, we're going to have a mess. Okay? We found out, we talked about two of those basics. Do you remember what the first one was? Faith. And the second one was love. You may want to get those two messages and listen to them because you need to know this. You need to know faith is a fundamental principle followed right by love because faith works by love. And you can't have one without the other. So if you have love, you have faith. If you don't love, you don't have any faith. It's really that simple. But we're going to jump forward. I don't know why I always put down a quick review. I almost never get to it. I guess I'm just that excited. But I need you to turn with me to Mark 11. Because It may be kind of like an oxymoron, but when I saw this, it was frightening to me, but it was good. You know, I know that doesn't make any sense. Hopefully you'll see it at the end, because it naturally was something that, while you know how I feel about love and forgiveness, I hadn't seen this. And it makes all the difference in the world, because it caused me to see just how destructive unforgiveness can be to the person who won't forgive. Okay? Turn your neighbor and say, oh, he's going to get on going in your neighborhood. Okay. Okay. Oh, saying, why isn't this reading the wrong way? Because I was in Matthew, not Mark. That would help. Mark 11. All right. Again, this isn't new. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be you removed and be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And everybody goes, yes! Right? Okay? Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And we rightfully so get very excited about that. And we run around naming it and claiming it. Yes, because the word says so. So you can't do it. Yes, I can, because the word says so. Well, look at verse 25. Okay. It says, and when you stand praying, do what?
Yes.
When you stand praying, really believe.
Yes.
No, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And we're still okay with that. And we'll go on about our business, but we fail to really look at the next verse. Let's read it together, verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. How many of you have read that before? How many of you have thought about it? Okay. And you still won't forgive. I mean, that's amazing. Because when you really, well, it's not that amazing, because I've thought about it for a while, and I still have to catch myself. But I'm not going to have to do that after today. No, no, no. Okay. This is in the Amplified Bible. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go. Here's why. In order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Notice it said, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. I looked up that word neither, again, because I looked it up several years ago. One of the definitions is not even. So it's saying, if you do not forgive, nobody's going to forgive you. Not even your Father who's in heaven. We need to think about that. God said, if you will not forgive, I won't forgive you. That's a sobering thought. Because if God doesn't forgive us, consider this. In Isaiah 53:5, how many of you have that memorized? What does it say? But he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not if you won't forgive. Not if you won't forgive. Because he said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your shortcomings. What about Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, not if you won't forgive. Your failure to forgive will cause you to forfeit everything Jesus obtained for you. Everything. Deuteronomy 28. You just read 15 down to the end. I'm going to highlight just some. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. This is an NIV. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. You'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he destroyed you from the land you're entering to possess. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you'll be oppressed. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, and another will take her. The Lord will drive you and the king you set up over you to a nation unknown to you. Listen to this one. This may answer the question some of us have as, Lord, I'm tithing. I'm also giving offerings. Why am I still in this financial mess? You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little. Why? Because you're walking around in unforgiveness, and because you won't forgive, God can't forgive you. And if God doesn't forgive you, all of this stuff applies to us because we're not forgiven of it. We have to understand how important it is to just forgive, period. To just forgive. Unforgiveness, this is what God said to me just before I came in. He said, write this down. Unforgiveness affects your spirit, soul, and body. It closes, listen to this. This is what God said to me around 7:20-22, somewhere around there. It closes the windows of heaven. It's a blessing blocker and a covenant breaker. That's what he said about unforgiveness. A blessing blocker and a covenant breaker. Why? Because he said, if you will not forgive, neither will I forgive you. If he doesn't forgive us, then who's responsible for our sins? We are. We are. And that's not the way he designed it. But I found out, I didn't take John Wooden's class. My shoes came loose. You don't want to know what that is? Listen to the first message. You'll understand. Okay. Look at Matthew 6. Because I found out that in Mark 11 wasn't the first time God talked about that principle. And it surprised me because it's one of those things we just read right over. And it's taught me to stop reading right over any scripture. I got to take my time and digest every word. Because reading over it can get us in trouble. And this is part of what they call, what some call the Lord's Prayer. We believe the Lord's Prayer is what he prayed in John. But it says, starting with verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Drop down to verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The complete Jewish Bible of Matthew 6:12 says, forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. So if you think, Father, forgive us just like we have forgiven others. That's what he's saying. So if you haven't forgiven others, then he can't forgive you. Amplify. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, left remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. Given up resentment. You have to ask yourself, is there somebody that you know you resent because of things that they may have done or said? And you'll say, well, I don't think so. How do you feel when they come around? How do you feel someone mentions your name? You remember Julie? Slowly I turned, step by step, okay, inch by inch. I said, what'd I do? What happened? Don't say that name. What name, Julie? Slowly I turned, you know. All that resentment is building up in us, and we don't let it go. And we wonder why we're not seeing ourselves advancing the way God said. We're not seeing the manifestation of the words that have been spoken of, you know, over us. And we say, well, was the prophet wrong? Or was the word wrong? No. They were right. Your behavior is wrong. And that's what needs to be corrected. You're walking around in unforgiveness, and God can't do anything with that. He left that totally up to us. Totally. And we're going to see in a few moments. Well, I'll wait till we get there, and then I'll show it to you. Romans 4 gives us even further clarity as to what we forfeit when we don't forgive. Beginning with verse 6, we'll read 6 and 7. Even if David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputed the righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So if God can't forgive because we won't forgive, our iniquities aren't forgiven, and there's no covering for our sins. Where does that leave us? A whole lot of trouble. That's where it leaves us. Why? Because I don't like what someone did? Is it really worth all that we're giving up just to prove a point to someone? We have to ask ourselves that. We have to compare what they did against what God has. What they said, what God promised. We have to consider that and ask ourselves a very simple question. Is what they said worth giving up all that God promised? Too many times our actions say yes. And my question is, why? Why is it so important to make a point that someone wronged us? Why is that so important? We said that we agree with what the Bible says about us once we've become born again. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So if all things are passed away, that means everything that was ever done to me was passed away. So that means I start out with a clean slate in everything. That means I've never been hurt. That means no one has ever talked ill about me. No one's ever done anything to me. Because I'm a new creature. And because I'm a new creature, and I understand the principles of faith and love, no one gets under my skin. Because I walk in forgiveness. So if someone does something, I let it go. And it, see, I'm covered with heavenly Teflon, so to speak. So that none of that stuff sticks to me. But see, you can take a Teflon pan, and regardless of some of these commercials, you can get steel wool or one of those powered grinders and scar that thing up, and it's no longer stick-proof. Stuff will start sticking to that pan now. But that's, we have to go, really, that's the type of work that we have to go through to operate in unforgiveness. We have to get all the Christianity, all the love of God, all that stuff out of us so that unforgiveness will stick. That's a lot of work. When all we have to do is just let it go and enjoy the benefits of God. But to go, can you think of anybody that's worth losing your sin covering? Yeah. Yeah, when we sit down and actually think about it, we can say that. But in the heat of the battle, we're not thinking like that. That's why we have to practice the basics. We have to rehearse the basics. We have to rehearse them. That's why I told you this before in basketball games, they go out, we say it's for warm-ups, but they're really rehearsing taking the most missed shot in the game. Layups. Okay. Layups. You have a 48-inch vertical leap. That means you're this high over the rim, you can't drop the ball in the hoop. Why? Because your form is all wrong. I knew a football player once when I was coaching, 7 years old, named Larry Jones. Turned out to be a high school All-America, and then I lost track of him. But I was coaching the pre-peanuts. They were 6 and 7 years of age. Okay. Won't even a full peanut. And the only reason I was coaching them is because two of my sons were on the team. And I'm like, okay, if you're playing football, I don't have a problem with this, but I got to be there because I'm not having any coaches talk to you the way they talk to some players, not at that age. No. And then the coach left, and so I was the logical choice to become the head coach. And the coach of the Peanuts brought me this little boy, and he was crying. And the coach is like pushing him in the back of the head, just go on over there with the babies. I'm like, excuse me, these aren't babies. They're pre-peanuts, but they ain't babies. Okay, so don't refer to my team as babies. I said, what's the matter with him? He's afraid to get hit. I said, how do you know? Every time he gets hit, he drops the ball. Okay. So he's not, he needs to stay down here with you guys. That's fine. And I said, okay, let him take some handoff. Let's see. Now, if you know football, when you take a handoff, your hands are like this. And they slap the ball in and you clamp down on it till you go through the line. Then you put it in one hand and just run past everybody. No one ever taught Larry how to do that. So he's going through the line. The quarterback goes like this. He's going like this. So he gets hit. His hands aren't even on the ball yet. But because it made contact, it's a fumble. All we did was teach him how to properly receive a handoff. No one could catch him once he did that. We scrimmaged the Peanuts. He scored 5 touchdowns. Ran right through them. They wanted him back. I said, nope. Nope. Well, he mastered a basic fundamental. But see, somebody has to take the time to show you the fundamentals and show you how it works so you can grab hold of it. Well, that's what we're trying to accomplish here tonight, to just show you this fundamental, this basic called forgiveness, and let you understand how it operates and why it benefits you. See, when that ball is tucked like this, no matter who hits you, they're not knocking the ball away. But if you have it out here, anybody can slap it out of your hands. So we have to understand forgiveness is us going through life protected. Nothing can touch us because we have the basic in place. so that everything God has for us, we can get to. Or I should say, he can get it to us, because there are no more covenant breakers in the way. Okay. Look at Matthew 18. This is an amazing account. And again, I was just, I don't know what the word is, when I just realized all of the examples God had been giving us about how important it is to forgive and not really seeing it. I'm going to begin at verse 24. It says, when he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. How much is 10,000 talents? The Amplified Bible says probably about $10 million. So one was brought to this person who owed him $10 million. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell to his knees, begging him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion. There is a key right there, folks. If we don't walk around with compassion for the people, we'll never forgive. In order to forgive, we have to have compassion. His master's heart was moved with compassion. Look at this. And he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. So he didn't just say, okay, I forgive you that you didn't pay me as you should. You can have more time. He said, I forgive you. Forget the debt. Just forget it. $10 million. Just took an eraser and said, no longer exists. No longer exists. But that same attendant, the same one who just had a $10 million debt canceled. How would you like to have your debts canceled? Okay, all right. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii. About 20 bucks. Okay. And he caught him by the throat. You know what I mean? He throttled him, had him around his throat. Said, pay me what you owe me. 20 bucks. You were just forgiven of $10 million. Okay. The fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling. This was what I was about to tell you earlier, folks. The problem is not that we can't forgive. The problem is that we are unwilling to forgive. Or you could say it's not that we can't forgive, we won't. We won't. And I spent a good part thinking, good part of the day, and it was just coming in and out of my thinking, all right, what is it that I will not forgive? Who is it? What act can they do to me that I will absolutely not forgive? Not that I can't. I can. You can. Because God said that he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. So whatever that person did to you, God allowed it because you could handle it. And he said, and with the temptation, he will give us a way of escape. When someone does something to you, your way of escape is forgiving them. Forgiving them. But if we don't take the way of escape, we become weighed down by it. And this person was unwilling to forgive a $20 debt when he had just been forgiven of a $10 million debt. But he was unwilling and went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. And I'm always wondering, if they threw him in prison, how are they supposed to get money? What sense does that make? They just had a place called a debtor's prison. You go in there until you can pay back the money. I'm like, how you earn a living? Okay. Can you imagine if he was thrown in prison for the $10 million? They'd have had to put his great-great-great-grandchildren in prison to try and get it all back. All right. But he was unwilling and went out and had him put in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then the master called him and said to him, "You contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you?" And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, so he should pay all that he owed. Remember I say it's a blessing blocker, covenant breaker? He just had $10 million, in a sense, given to him. Lost it all in a breath of unforgiveness. That now he's accountable for it. And now, not only that, but now he's in prison. He's got to try and raise $10 million while he's in prison. Listen to verse 35. So also, just like that master, so also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. In the same way, the forgiveness was canceled, and that man was held accountable for that debt. In the same way, God will hold us accountable if we don't freely forgive our brother or sister from our heart. See, didn't say with your mouth. From our heart. We truly, genuinely, absolutely forgive from the heart someone their offenses. Think about what God canceled for us. Really, you just think about everything that God has done for us. And I ask the question again, who is it you can think of that's worth losing all of that because you don't want to forgive him or her? And it doesn't matter what they did. I was reading an article on the internet about this truck driver. He was driving, wasn't a tandem trailer, it was three trailers. There are only a few states that allow it. And he was driving, and he said that he must have dozed off. The traffic stopped, and the lady in front of him was in a Ford Focus. And he didn't see her until it was too late. He couldn't stop. He barreled into her and pushed her into the back of another tractor trailer. She was killed. One of her sons had brain damage and is in a wheelchair, they say, for the rest of his life. And the second son survived, had minor injuries. Truck driver didn't have a scratch. They charged him with two counts of vehicular homicide and something else. He pled out, and he said the reason he pled it out is because he didn't want to put the family through a trial because they had to show pictures and, you know, all that gory stuff. And he thought that they might give him probation or something. They gave him 5 years. And they put him in a prison that was noted for its zero tolerance against any form of abuse. Yet he was beaten constantly. The father, the husband, the widow, forgave him and said, I want to meet him. And he got a chance to meet him when he got out of prison 5 years later. This man had tried to get him released early because he'd forgiven him. And he found out that the guy would not forgive himself for what he did. And he was trying to get the person to just, he said, I've forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. The guy wouldn't do it. He became very bitter. And he started saying things like, it was God's fault. Because God decided your wife is supposed to go to die that day. And I'm mad at him because he used me to bring her to heaven. That's his attitude. But because he can't forgive himself. He won't forgive himself. So he, but bitter, unforgiveness will make you become bitter. And you make all kinds of irrational statements and irrational behavior because you've now become bitter. And it no longer matters what anyone does or says. You've got your mind made up. And that's it. And you don't care. What a terrible way to have to live your life. But God said, Colossians 2, talking about what he canceled for us, and you who were dead in trespass, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven all of our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note of its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross. Nailing it. So it was done. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. That's what God did for us. But we don't forgive. It's like all that was for nothing. As far as you were concerned. As far as you were concerned, you don't have power over snakes and scorpions and all the power the enemy possesses. Because you're walking around in unforgiveness. And when you're walking in unforgiveness, you're bowing down to the prince of this world. And you're not raising your hands in praise and adoration to God. Why? Because someone stole some money from you? That's good enough reason? They took your man. Well, if they could take him, he wasn't yours in the first place. I mean, what caliber weapon did they use? They didn't take him. He freely went with him. Or her. You know. And you say, I'll never forgive that. You're going to be having this kind of stuff happen to you your entire life. And I'm beginning to understand why things just keep happening. Some people, you know anybody, stuff just seems to just keep happening to them. And every time you're with them, they keep talking about it. And keep talking about the people that did it. How many of you said to them, you need to stop that and walk in forgiveness? Sometimes we find ourselves getting in agreement with them. Yep, you're right. They said, no, child, you don't even love people like that from a distance. You just leave them out there. Let God deal with them. Wait a minute. I thought that we were ministers of reconciliation. And think about this. I'll try and stay close to the edge, guys. Reverend Bob said this on Sunday when he was talking about the book he wrote about strife. He talked about how strife can cause you to lose or not maintain your healing. Strife. I was thinking about that, and I realized something. You can't be in forgiveness and strife with a person at the same time. It's impossible. Either you're walking in forgiveness or you're walking in strife. So that means if you're in strife with someone, you have a forgiveness issue. Because if you've forgiven them, you're no longer upset with them. So as far as you're concerned, it's settled. It's settled. We're not supposed to walk around in strife. And we're certainly not supposed to walk around in strife one with another. God said he placed each of us in the body exactly where he wanted us, so that they, and the first reason he gave was so there'd be no schism in the body. That means everybody that's in this room, that God placed you here so there'd be no schism here. Everybody should be getting along here because everybody was hand-placed. Or I could say hand-picked, well, hand-selected and hand-placed by God. Every one of us. So we shouldn't be in strife with anybody. We should never be in contention with any of our family members. Never. We're handpicked by God. And if there are other believers out there, guess what? They were handpicked by God also. And God placed them exactly where they wanted them. So they go to another church. There's still no schism in the body. Doesn't matter. We get upset. You know, well, our founding pastor was Clinton Utterbach, and really, I never heard of him. What you mean? Guy's like, whoa, never heard of him. You never heard of the Utterbach Ensemble? I'm 17. Okay. No, I haven't. I'm sure it was very good. You know, but folks get attitudes about stuff. And it would be laughable if it wasn't so serious. We have literally been our own worst enemy because we refuse to forgive. Do we actually believe someone woke up in the morning and as they were getting prepared, they said they were going to look for somebody driving a car exactly like yours and deliberately cut you off? That's what they were going to do. That person, this one, it amazed me. Your car breaks down on the road. So now there's a big traffic jam. You can't do anything about it. People drive by you cursing at you. Get that thing off the road. I would if it would start. You know, I mean, we find ourselves doing that. Things happen, we bang the wheel. What's the matter with them? Whoa, they didn't wake up in the morning with you in mind. They have just as frustrated as you are because they have one more issue. They got to now pay for a tow truck. And a car repair. But we won't take those things into consideration. All we take into consideration is it affects me. I don't like it. That's selfish. That's self-centered. And that's so unloving and unlike your Father, whose image and likeness you were made in. I was made in. Bible tells us that God is love. So if we're made in his image and after his likeness, then that makes us what? Go ahead, you can say it, it won't hurt. God is love. Say, God is love. I was made, or I am made, in his image and his likeness, so I am love. See, that didn't hurt. Nobody lost consciousness. Now all you have to do is just act like it. Because we already know what love does. And because you know what it does, we know what it doesn't do. Love doesn't act in unforgiveness. It says love does not act unbecomingly. It just doesn't. Love doesn't keep a scorecard of what someone has done wrong. And you say, yeah, but Jesus said that I have to forgive. I only have to forgive 70 times 7. And love says that you don't keep an account. So, since the Bible is true, Jesus said you have to forgive 70 times 7, but the Bible also tells us that love doesn't keep an account, so how do you get past one? So every time that person does something, it's the first time they've ever done it. I mean, that's what it is. You say, oh, no, 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 no. You don't know what they did to me. I haven't found anything where it said forgive unless. If you find it, let me know. And I'll redo the message. But I didn't see any qualifiers in here. I saw absolutes. If you will not forgive, not even your Father in heaven will forgive you. Period. Didn't say, if you have a good reason, then you can walk in unforgiveness for a little bit of time. I'll tell the Holy Ghost to let you know when you need to get it better. No, the Holy Ghost is already telling you, forgive him. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. Every time we hear, we're like, no, just forgive him. I don't want to forgive him. Lord, you don't know what he did. Will you stop saying that? Just forgive him. That's all he's going to say. Just forgive him. Let it go. You don't understand what they did. They did it to me too. You don't understand. Yes, I do. You don't know how it is to do give your all to someone and then they just throw it in your face. Read my book. Okay. These are the arguments that we have with God. Why? Because we don't want to forgive. Everyone say, I'm going to want to forgive. From now on. Okay, I'm almost finished. So I'll read you one more thing. I'm going to let you go. You won't have to forgive me for keeping you here too late. The Bible tells us, because I'm saying, I'm like, okay, God, why are you putting this requirement on us? He said, I gave my only begotten son because I loved you. And I knew you were going to sin, and I did not want you to have to pay the penalty, so my son was agreeable to pay the penalty of your sins. So I have given you much. And where much is given, much is required. The least we can do, folks, is forgive. Because folks, for the most part, don't do $10 million things to us. They're in the $20 range. We've been forgiven probably 10 times 10 million. And we won't forgive? Oh, we have to forgive. Say, I'm keeping the gates of heaven, the windows of heaven open. I'm keeping the windows of heaven open. I'm getting rid of the blessing blocker and the covenant breaker called unforgiveness. And tell your neighbor, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be a forgiving machine. As a matter of fact, before they finish bothering me, I'm going to be finished forgiving them. I'm going to forgive before they even finish. This way it can't take root in me. I'm getting rid of it before it even comes in. I mean, that's the attitude we have to have if we're going to walk around in everything that God has for us. When you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. But if you don't forgive, not even your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. Any questions?